Okay, so I can hang up on you, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, let's see. I think that's it. We can talk now.
Okay.
They're going to have a time with our accents.
Yeah, no, I asked Kirk, what should I use, my real Southern Belle or what?
Let me read a little bit so you'll understand it. It's the University of Pennsylvania. It's conducting a speech recognition research, which they're building a database containing samples of recorded speech from all the regions of the country.
Yeah.
And they're kind of short on Southern accents.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So,
honey child, huh?
Well, how are you?
Doing okay.
Good.
Doing okay. A little exhausted.
Oh.
From all the tragedies. I mean, it's like every other week.
Oh.
You know, yeah, I told Kirk, I said, you know, how much can one family have?
Yeah.
We need to start sharing some of these troubles.
Hmm. What have I missed? Have I missed something?
Well, no, you know, with...
It's just lingering effect?
Yeah, that.
Kirk was telling me about Andre this morning.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
A year ago yesterday, he was playing softball with Chris, you know, just like he was back in high school, same person. And I said, now they're going to amputate his leg on Wednesday.
Mm-mm-mm.
And for someone who's never even had a hangnail, he's not taking this well at all.
Wow.
Tony's the same way with them not having children. They've never had to take care of anyone except themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she goes her own way, and so does he.
Yeah.
They've never had any kind of tragedy or problem or anything ever. Neither one have ever been sick.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then now all of a sudden this, just boom, hey, you have this, you know, this terrible, you know, artery occlusion, so-and-so, and, you know, leg's got to come off immediately.
I guess I just never thought about it being localized like that in the limbs.
Well, they call it peripheral vascular occlusion.
Oh, okay.
And what the doctor said, that normally whenever you hear of someone that's, you know, in their teen years or 20s or early 30s that's in good shape, all of a sudden, boom, they have a heart attack and dies, it's of this disease. And because he said about 95% of the time it's, you know, it's just in the chest area.
Yeah.
Andre's just happens to be from knees down.
Goodness.
But, yeah, it's such a shock. And he's...
Kirk said he had about a month before he could...
the doctor was saying, you know, if he wants to seek his 10th and 11th and 12th second opinions, you know, because he said so many, that... he needs to do something within the span of a month before gangrene sets in. The sores are real big. They're about the size of a 50-cent piece or you know, silver dollar.
Mm.
And they're real deep all the way to the bone on his feet.
I was telling Kirk about a friend of ours up here that has a wooden leg.
Mm-hmm.
And he still is very, very active. He rides horses. He ropes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a horseshoer. He does all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays softball and everything.
Well, I think that's what has Andre so upset. Yeah, I think that's what has got him so upset is that, you know, from being so active to boom, nothing. And Tony said before, she said, you know, anytime they'd have an argument or a discussion, you know, he was just the type, look, I can't handle this, and he would just jump in his truck and leave. And then now he's not going to be able to do much of anything. So it's taking, you know, them quite a period of adjustment.
Yeah.
And Kirk's been trying to stay with him and talk to him. He said, you know, Kirk said, I've never been around anyone who's that openly suicidal.
Mm. Okay.
And that's what has Kirk very, very upset.
Yeah.
Worrying about of that. You know, and of course she's talking about, you know, what am I going to do if I can't work? What can I do if I
wish he could talk to our friend.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think... If he gave him a call, he would talk with him?
Well, shoot, it's worth a try.
Because I think, I think I'll talk to Glenn and get him to ask Greg, you know, about talking with him, and then I'll let you know.
Yeah, because Andre is expecting the very worst.
Yeah.
He's thinking, hey, I'm going to be laid up forever, no leg. And they told Andre that the other leg is almost in as bad a shape.
Oh, no.
Possibly he has maybe 2 years, 2 to 5 years.
Hmm.
You know, they expect, they said, the, you know, fastest it's going 2 years, but at the very most he might have as long as 5 years. Yeah, and this is just unbelievable. Susan, if you would see him now, in the past month, his hair has grayed. He has probably aged 15 years.
Wow.
He looks like an old man.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's just unbelievable.
Stress is getting to him.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Hmm.
But, you know, I was trying to tell Tony, you know, shoot, with so many problems, I said, you know, Kirk has been inundated his entire life. He doesn't know anything but, you know, tragedies are hard luck. You know, you just suck it up and go on. Because she was asking, well, gosh, how can Kirk deal with this and deal with that? So, well, you know, when Bruce died, he was nutty for about 6 months, but, you know, by the time he got over the shock of that and whatever and realized there's nothing he could do, he just buried himself in work and just had to go on with it. You know, and seeing his mother go down, down, down like that, I said, he just tried to stay busy and just, you know, because there's nothing he could do about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And, of course, you know, with the baby and that, you know, you look every day and that, you just, when you look at it, that's the first thing that comes to our mind.
Mm. How's she doing?
She is remarkable. She is really is remarkable. She'll get down on shoulder, and then she'll say, no, I'm not going to let him take one more minute away from me. You know, he's taken enough. No, I'm not going to let this get me down.
Right.
And then, you know, she'll be fine for a while, then later she'll get down, and then she'll have to tell herself no, that he's not going to take today away from her, and she's okay. I was really concerned after she testified in front of the grand jury, but she was wonderful, Kirk said. He said it was unbelievable how tough she was.
Great. I was worried about that.
Oh, boy, was I. Oh, I thought, oh, man, things are starting to get back to normal. Then now, boom, it's going to go all the way back like it was.
Mm.
But she's come through. It's unbelievable the strength she has.
Wow.
You know,
it didn't upset her. Was he there?
No.
Oh, okay.
But they had, you know, that was crazy. And even they admitted they did not really need her to testify. I mean, Kirk just gave them the devil. They had a video tape recording of his confession to everything, which they showed. They had the officers testifying to everything. They had every bit of evidence they needed. There was no reason to put her through this.
Goodness.
I mean, if they're going to do this to somebody, why not wait until the trial?
Right.
If you have to go through it. Kirk said before they walked in, another case that was presented to the grand jury had, I think he said it was either a 10 or 12-year-old little girl. Mm-hmm. He said she came out crying.
Yeah.
Why in the world put a child through this? And also, at a grand jury investigation, hearsay is allowed.
Oh.
So you don't need all this, you know, this overkill in just a grand jury indictment. You don't need all that. The trial, yeah. But just to get an indictment, no. And even the investigator, the investigator over the sheriff's department talked to Kirk, and he told Kirk, he said, you know, this is ridiculous. He agreed with Kirk, and Kirk said he was very loud, and he let him know how ridiculous this was, putting her and all these other children through this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Kirk said, listen, I'm just trying to go along with the system, whatever y'all need. Just make sure this man's going to stay in jail for the rest of his life.
That's right.
You know, you don't fail me, we won't fail you.
When do you think it'll come to trial?
Well, he told them, please try to get this before before she turns 18.
Right.
They said they'd try, but these things go on forever.
Goodness.
You know?
Mm-mm-mm.
So I have no idea. You know, and that's, today I told Kirk, I said, you know, Kirk, her testimony, I don't think Kirk wants to hear it.
Yeah.
I had to listen to it that night.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, I'm telling you, you just wouldn't be able to stand it. It'll tear you up.
Mm-mm-mm.
But it
she
has made
this behind her until this is over.
Yeah. I tell you, it's made her a much stronger person. I've never heard her ever in my life stand up to her mother or her dad and say, this is my opinion, this is what I want, this is what I will do, and this is what I will not
wow.
do. And so Erica and I talked, and I told Erica, I said, The only change, because she's asked me if I've noticed a change, and I said, yes, but I think it's for the best. You know, for the first time you've developed a backbone, and you know, don't mind telling people your opinion.
Yeah.
You know, this is my opinion, this is what I like, this is what I want, this is what I don't want.
She was always scared of hurting people's feelings.
Right, that's exactly. I mean, somebody would tell her something, and she'd just okay, even though she didn't want to or whatever. Just like when this happened, she said, fine, you know, I do not want to stay with my mother anymore. I said, well, look, Erica, let's not get rash about this now. I'm sort of enjoying not having kids around, you know. And she said, no. She said, I don't want to stay there, and I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, look, why don't you just stay there for a few days and here for a few days, whatever.
Yeah.
And she's just flat out refused. I said, well, you know, this is what you want. That's fine. No problem.
Is she not getting along with her now, or did she just didn't?
Well, she was not at all right at first because her mother was so angry about her not going back home.
Oh.
But now, after school, she'll go by and visit and whatever. And also, one thing Erica asked me, which I was really surprised, she asked me about a month ago if I could help her find a part-time job after school. And I said, sure, I'll start looking, but are you sure? She said, yes, I need something to keep my mind occupied. I do not want to have any free time to think about this.
Yeah.
I said, okay, so I talked with some attorneys and whatever, and she starts work Monday at the courthouse.
Yeah, that's what Kurt was saying.
Yeah.
That's great.
And she is so excited. Of course, all she's going to be doing is just filing a little gopher here and gopher there, you know.
Oh, but it mean a lot to her.
But still, meeting different people and, you know, just for those, 2.5 hours or 3 hours a day, just getting in a different environment or whatever, I think, you know, it's also going to really improve her. Besides, it's going to help her with government.
That's right.
And who knows, there she might be able to push her own case along some more.
Get to know the people on the inside.
Yeah. But the one that has really taken things so bad, and there's nothing we can do about it, is your brother.
Yeah.
Just like this with Andre. Andre's been coming over every night. Kirk will sit and talk to him. Andre will leave. Kirk will just sit down and cry his eyes out.
Mm-mm-mm. Kirk takes everything so personal.
Oh, he does. And I told Kirk, I said, well, you know, I've even mentioned Tony. I don't want Andre coming over. You know, we got enough.
Yeah.
And I hate to be ugly, but I told, you know, sort of a roundabout way, look, you know, Kirk's got this going on, so he probably won't be in till late, or he's going to be real tied up on this. Shoot, Andre calls and comes over anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's really taken this to heart. Many times he seems to spend the night with Andre at the hospital. He'd work all day.
Good.
From work, go straight to the hospital in his muddy, nasty clothes, sit up with Andre all night long, and then, you know, whenever Andre's mother or my mother, somebody comes the next morning, then he'd go on back to work.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, yeah, he's...
I don't see how he does it.
And I've mentioned to him, I said, Kirk, why do you do this? You know, you don't have to. There are other people. He said, no, I just, you know, I'd feel better if I'm there seeing it, and if I know what's going on, he's getting the right kind of care and getting the right kind of help, and... this kind of thing. So, well, Kirk, you can't raise everybody. You know? So, well, when are y'all coming to visit? Y'all need to be coming Easter. Why don't y'all come Easter Sunday?
Oh, I doubt if we can come that soon.
Oh, man. I wish y'all could come Easter.
Oh.
We'd have a big old barbecue, and who knows, we might get some mud bugs.
Oh, we just had some.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Erica was asking the other day. She said, oh, we need to get a bunch of crawfish.
Yeah, Glenn just finished the last of them today. He got some yesterday.
Well, we still have good barbecue chicken anyway.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was talking to Jackie, Judy's son, today. Easter, we've always, had, you know, all the family over here. And Jackie made a comment about your mother's dressing. I said, well, Jackie, I've never tried, but I'm going to try it this year. Jackie thought, he told his mother, he said, that's the best cornbread dressing I've ever had. And then your mother told me, this must have been 3 years ago, she said, watch Judy's son. He had no idea it was squash. And then I walked up and said, Jackie, you like squash? Oh, no, I would never take that. And lo and behold, I said, son, that's your third helping of squash dressing.
Yep, I made it one time, and that's when I took it to down there when we went Thanksgiving. That's the only time I've made it.
Oh. Well, I've never tried. I told Jackie today it was Dad's birthday, so we all, after church, we all met up. And I told Jackie I would try it.
How's your dad?
He's old and tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really is. Just like today, he's old and tired. He was so thrilled last Sunday. Andre came up and made a public profession of faith.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And that just thrilled Dad to death. But, I mean, he can't take much more, whether it's tragic or happy. It doesn't matter, good or bad. He can't take much more. So he's looking so old, and he's losing weight still. And he just, of course, they're wanting him to keep his weight down.
Ah.
But I'm just not used to seeing him so thin.
Is he trying to keep it down?
They tell him for this and that to still watch what he eats and you know, keep his weight down, try to keep walking and exercising to help him and all that. So I assume so.
Yeah.
You know, to make sure his blood sugar stays down and his blood pressure and everything else.
Mm.
But he just looks old and tired.
Mm. How's your mama doing?
Just as wild as ever. I swear, the older she gets, the wilder and crazier she gets. You know, the boys love being around her. She embarrasses me, Judy, don't you know? The boys think she's a hoot, you know? Yeah.
Kirk said y'all hadn't seen the boys in a week, just about.
No, and now Damon went to church with us this morning, but we haven't seen Brandon. Well, Brandon had asked Kirk if he could charge some tires on his account. This was about a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, if you don't mind, Kirk, he said, I'll work with you and pay it off. And Kirk said, well, that's fine, son. You know, you stay and you work it, you know, it off. And, you know, I understand. I'll put it on my account.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't seen him since that day he had those tires put on.
Oh, no.
Hasn't even laid eyes on the boy.
Oh, no.
So.
He's going to have to look him up to collect.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing real good.
Really?
Yeah. Get my strength back. And
well, it just takes a while. I just started therapy for arthritis, and it's in a big heated pool in Biloxi, at Biloxi High.
Wow.
You know, that's really
How
neat.
Often would you do that?
Well, right now they want me to do twice a week, and later on they said maybe three times a week.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they put a big one of these inflated belt things on you, together with all the other old people.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you can do all these exercises in the pool. In the class, there's from, maybe 3 to 5 people, and the average age is about 70.
You are fun.
Yeah, Kirk asked me if I want him to buy me some floaties for my arms. You know, just to go.
Those old men be hitting them.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I told him, I feel like such an idiot out there. Golly.
But does it make a difference that it's heated?
And Biloxi High, it's just like what you'd see on these big swim matches on the Olympics. It's one of these gigantic, big, heated pools. That it's the lines are drawn and taped in the pool and whatever. It's as big as half of my house or bigger.
Mm.
It's unbelievable how big it is. But it is very, very nice.
Mm.
Of course, I don't know who else has a swim team but Biloxi. I didn't know they had a swim team.
Mm.
But it's a big, nice heated pool. But after I get to where I can handle this all right, then maybe it'll be warm enough and I can just do the same kind of exercises out here.
Well, that's what I was wondering. But then again, if the heat has a lot to do with it,
maybe
my ears might not get hot enough.
Now, I've got one of these little heat covers for my pool that draws the heat in that will heat up the water.
Oh.
One of these little silver-type covers for the pool that draws heat, you know, that really heats up the pool.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway, she told me that this might help me, it might not. She said, for one thing, it won't hurt me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it might do me some good. I'll just wait and see.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Darnell, wish you could talk Glenn into y'all coming down to Easter. Man, that would be so nice.
Mm.
And we're supposed to have nice weather, I think.
Boy, we didn't have good weather this weekend.
It was terrible here. I mean, in probably 3 hours' time, we had like 6 inches. I mean, everything was flooded here, everything. The roads, bridges.
Mm.
Yeah, it was really bad here.
I had put out last weekend some bushes.
Mm-hmm.
I call them bushes. Spirea and a pink weigelia, and
mm-hmm.
I got a camellia and a gardenia and a azalea.
Yeah, right.
And I put those out, and I'm hoping they'll live.
They didn't wash away.
Yeah. And I'm just waiting for better weather. I want to plant some flowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I start to do some of that today. I've got some little petunias and pansies and all that. And some kind of lilies or something. I don't know what they are.
Mm. I got something to yesterday. to give Glenn's mama for Easter. Mm-hmm. It's called an azalea tree.
Hmm.
You've seen the rose tree?
Yeah, sure.
Well, this is an azalea tree. It's got like a little azalea bush at the top. The stem is like intertwined stems of the azalea,
mm-hmm.
and it goes up so high like a tree, and the top is bushy
I'll
with blooms.
I'll be darned. That sounds great.
It's pretty.
Huh. Oh, we just had a new little florist or greenhouse open up, and it always opens up right around Easter on 49. They have all kind of odd plants and stuff. Tony mentioned to me today after church if I'd gone down there to check out what they've got. She said they've got a lot of strange things, like they're a little weeping figs. They'll braid those and have nothing but the thick braided trunk until it goes so high, then they'll have the regular greenery there. So things like that. I haven't gone down to check it out, but they might have one of those there.
Yeah.
I know I got Kirk last year, a tree rose that I've got just in a big pot on the deck.
Where did you get it, at a nursery?
I got it, I think, at Lowe's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I believe that's where it was.
I've got a friend that, they've been in their house a little over a year now,
mm-hmm.
but she's still kind of landscaping, and they've got a little circle right by the house that she doesn't know what to put in. And I said, well, a tree rose would be pretty with some of that low grass around it, you know?
Yeah, for ground cover, yeah.
Yeah. And she said, well, where do you get a tree rose?
Well, okay, this is at Lowe's. They had three of them, and this is the prettiest peach color, and it's got like yellow stripes in the throat of it. I had about five blooms last year. Of course, it might be dead now because of all the cold weather we've had.
Yeah.
I don't know. It made it last year, so I don't know. But, of course, I didn't plant in the ground. I just got it in a big pot so I could move it back and forth in case it, due to the weather.
I got a couple of, about five tulips coming up now. One of them is about to break open into a bloom.
Yeah. Oh.
And I planted a few irises and hyacinths.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to get things in the ground.
I know. I'm the same
way. Blooming things.
Right. Yeah. As soon as the sun comes out and it starts warming up, it seems like it just makes you, it improves your personality, just warms you all over to see, the grass, the plant, everything turning green again.
That's right.
My personality changes with the weather. I mean, the entire time during fall and winter, when everything's dead, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. Well, they've kind of done a study on that.
Oh, really?
How the sun affects your emotions.
Yeah. But, yeah, okay, because even if it's cold, if the sun's out and whatever, then, I'm a lot cheerier.
Yeah, me too.
But, I'm so miserable when it's gray and ugly or cold or rainy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've got several things. I went to Old America to get some flowers for your mother and Bruce the other day. I took her and said, I felt so good just seeing all the pretty flowers.
Yeah.
It just made my day.
Yeah.
Just so nice.
Well, Bob came up, and they didn't get to fish a lot because of the weather, but it was a pretty enjoyable visit.
Yeah.
And
well, he was okay, huh?
Yeah, everything went well.
Yeah.
And probably in a few weeks or so, I don't know when, we might be coming down and getting my furniture that Mother wanted me to have.
Oh,
that dining room set.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to give Bob this table. That is
ours. And swap out with him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then we've got like an old gun cabinet here that he's going to take and put shelves in, put little things in.
Yeah.
And I can take that chest,
the
china chest thing, closet, whatever you call it. And but there are some things in that, some dishes that were mother's and all. I wanted to see if Kurt wanted anything, you know.
Okay, he hadn't said anything, but
ask him, sometime.
Okay.
And
to be honest, Susan, he never even goes over there, so he doesn't even know what your mother has over there or not.
Yeah.
You know, when y'all come down, I'm sure he will.
Okay.
But he said that he just can't go over there with his mother not being there.
Yeah.
He'll call Bob and ask him to come over here, and he said, Rob, it upsets me so bad to go over there and to Mama's house and Mama not there. He said, I just can't handle that. Just like Bruce's house, we never go. Susan, I bet you I've been to Bruce's house maybe twice since Bruce died.
Wow.
It's just, I just don't like
had
to go.
Had I not been staying there, when Mother died, it would have been hard for me to go back after so long a period of time. But, something like that happens, you have to go straight back, go right to it, or else, it will hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, man, I wish I could come down Easter, darn it. Because Kirk and I were talking last night. He said, well, it's not going to be the same. He said, our once big family is dwindling in a hurry.
Yeah. Sure. So. How's Uncle Joe?
He came over yesterday and sat with Kirk. Of course, we watched Mississippi State get their behind beat.
I saw the last few minutes.
Good you didn't agonize through the whole thing like we did. But he stayed here for about 2.5 hours.
Goodness.
He's looking real old. He's shaking real bad.
Is he and Catherine still together?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And seemed to be just as happy as they can be. But even Kirk made a comment. He said, golly, he said, I can't believe he looks so old. And his hands are shaking real bad.
Oh, goodness.
You know, so Kirk, you know, we sat and talked about, Kirk asked him a million questions about his grandfather, where he grew up, where grandmother grew up, where they lived originally, where they came from originally.
Well, I hope he wrote it all down.
But, you know, Kirk said, there's so many things I want to know about my family.
Yeah, I know.
And he said, you know, Uncle Joe's the only one that's going to know. He said, Uncle Chris is too young.
Yeah.
He said, he won't know like Uncle Joe.
That's right.
But I don't know if it was upsetting Uncle Joe or what, but he'd sit there and sometimes he'd answer and sometimes he'd just shake his head, you know, whether he had forgotten or...
Yeah.
Kirk was aggravating him. I don't know. You never know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how that goes. We had all these opportunities when people were alive to ask questions, and now that we don't, this is the time that we reflect on it and wish we had.
Well, and this morning right after we got back from church, Erica was asking her dad, she said, you know, I want you to take me and show me where my grandmother lived, and Kirk was telling her where your mother was brought up and where this happened and that happened, and Kirk kept saying, yeah, honey, first day I take off, I'm going to show you this and show you that and take you and show you the graves.
Mm-hmm.
She said, yeah, I need to know where my family came from.
Yeah.
She said, I'll never find out the other family, but I want this family.
I couldn't get back to, what's it called? Is it Sand Hill where Granny Nollet's buried?
Wolf River?
Wolf River.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've got the Sand Hill in my mind. There is a cemetery.
We have Sand Hill Mental Hospital here.
Maybe
that's what you're thinking about, huh?
No, there is another cemetery, I think. Maybe some older ancient relatives were buried. But Wolf River, I don't know if I could get back there.
Yeah, he told Erica he's going to take her and show her this and show her that. And, you know, and she said, well, you know, before things go on any further, she said, the way our family's just, you know, things are terrible, things are happening to us, you know, I'd like to find out this and see this, you know, before much longer. She said, you know, I've got so many questions about my family, which I think, you know, just thrilled me to death for her to be asking questions, you know, to really care that much. That was wonderful.
That's right. I have a question.
Yeah.
I don't think I wrote it down. What date did Mama Ladner die? Did y'all write it down?
No.
We've got to write that. Find it out and write it down.
Yeah, I can find out from you, Uncle Chris, though.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Yeah, I can find out from Uncle Chris exactly when. No.
I got to write it in my Bible. And
yeah. Yeah.
Well, how's Uncle Chris and his family?
He'll call Kirk every once in a while and acts the same. You know, he'll disguise his voice and try to play a joke on the phone. He has not aged one drop in probably 30 years. But
I heard that was a sort of a miracle on his grandbaby.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And the little boy that was in the hospital with her at the same time when they were in Alabama died.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, at the same time, you know, with the same problem, he died. And all of a sudden, you know, she's great now. I mean, she's fine now.
Mm.
It's just amazing. Yeah, just amazing.
Mm. I got a little letter from Aunt Margaret way back. And
oh, really?
I answered her, and then she wrote me back a little bit, but then that was the last of it.
Yeah.
I hadn't written her back.
Yeah. Now, every time someone would be sick, I would sit with her and talk with her in the hospital. But I haven't talked with her in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I know it seemed like the last time I talked to her, she was having a lot of problems, you know, herself in her own marriage and whatever. She was, just had reached the end of her rope.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt sorry for her.
Goodness.
You know, especially having been in that family, I can understand, I can sympathize.
Yeah. They're all a little crazy.
Yeah, but She's, yeah, I really felt sorry for you, Aunt Margaret. I really did. I really did.
She just sounded so lonely in her little letters.
Yeah. Well, she is. She's with Gerald's brother. I'm sure Gerald's brother's just like Gerald and you know, the rest of his family. I can understand completely where she's coming from. And, it really was sad whenever she and I talked before. But, you know, at her age, you know, what is she going to do?
I know.
There's nothing she can do. When she was younger, she had to raise her children.
Yeah.
Now her children, you know, are older and they're gone. She, you know, keeps her grandchildren now and then. But